At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the gut reaction episode this week of the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me, whether it's in victory or defeat, my fellow football priest, you know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, it's kind of hard to know where to start with this particular game. One of the weirdest starts that I've ever witnessed to a Bronco game. But at the end of the day, they come up short by a single score, 23-16. Your gut reaction to the Broncos dropping to 3-3.
Same old Broncos. I hate to say it. I don't want to overreact, Chad. They're still 3-3. It's one loss, but it was too little too late. Where was that offense in the first three quarters? You know, where was that urgency in the first three quarters? It seemed like they sleptwalked through this game. It seemed like they didn't want to be out there. It's just, it was the, we talked about the Jekyll and Hyde version of Denver, Chad. Which one we're never, this was the Hyde version. This was the one we saw in week two, in week one. This was not the one we saw the last 3 weeks. I still have problems with the supporting cast that Bo Nix has. Arguably the worst in the NFL. I still have problems with the play calling, the coaching. The defense can only ask to do so much, Chad. They couldn't get off the field on third down. You lost PS2, but this is on the offense and the coaching once again.
What makes it even more terrifying, the loss of PS2, two things. One, you really saw that the way this particular defense is structured, he is, in fact, the straw that stirs the drink. As soon as he went down, Chargers went, they smelled the blood in the water, and it was throw. Broncos were reeling the entire time. So that's a little bit alarming. The second thing is it's a short week turnaround, and he's in concussion protocol. So the odds, I'm just telling you guys right now, the probability that he'll be through, and of course, thoughts and prayers to PS2, this is the least of his concern. But Zach, the probability of him being cleared of the concussion protocol, depending on the severity, we don't know how bad it was yet. By Thursday night's throwdown with the Saints, kind of slim.
Yeah, I don't think he'll play. Fortunately, I guess in this case, though unfortunately, the Saints' top receiver also suffered a concussion today, Chris Olave, so he probably won't play. It kind of evens it out a little bit. But still, the problems with the Broncos are not on defense, Chad. I'm still concerned about that offense versus that Saints defense on the road after a short week and after a performance like this.
Let's dive into the chat. We already have a lot of passion pouring in. Jonathan Ward, thank you, brother. Appreciate the super chat. He says, for the love of God, these wideouts have to catch the ball and find a way to get open. I hope PS2 is okay. He was missed today. Win or lose, go Broncos. That's one of the things that Sean Payton continues to harp on. We, and when you say we, you're including yourself, need to paint a better picture around Bo Nix. So obviously today the play calling, especially the first three quarters before the Chargers decided to just go vanilla prevent, left much to be desired. That lack of ingenuity and just the vanilla blah of Sean Payton's scheme, that was bad enough, Zach, but it was exacerbated by a supporting cast that was really struggling to create any kind of separation and get open, drop passes, and then of course Bo Nix throwing a pick early, then you get Javonte fumbling later, and it just created a nasty recipe in which the Chargers were able to score 10 points off turnovers, and that ultimately was the difference in this game when you look at the final score?
I've been saying it since week one. The Broncos lack the offensive playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. But even so, it took Troy Franklin weeks to get involved. He caught a touchdown today. Devon Vele was a healthy scratch for weeks, and he made a big pass in the fourth quarter. He was impactful. Why weren't they on the field? This speaks to Sean Payton thinking he's the smartest guy in the room, the most arrogant guy in the room, and who knows it all. And the more weeks that go on when they lose like this, Chad, and Bo Nix looks like he regressed, I'm wondering if the NFL might have passed Sean Payton by just a little bit.
Okay, so here we have one of our legendary, mythical Super Chat superstars in the house in Chris Hernandez, dropping a very generous Super Chat that is always symbolic on a gut reaction. He says they'll be dangerous once the Broncos will be dangerous once they can get things going in the first quarter instead of waiting till the fourth. And he's his game day, his gut reaction supers are always symbolic of the point total. And he's going three times in. He's been very generous all season long. And so thank you, Chris. And yeah, this was just one of those games where it just started off so disjointed. PS2 goes down. Jim Harbaugh runs in with some mysterious illness. Just weird stuff. The pick on the first play where it was like, just weird stuff. And you know what? We've seen, Chris, when the Broncos are able to be productive in the first quarter, you put a W on the board typically. Even this, I'm talking this season with Bo Nix. So it's a salient point, my friend.
Absolutely, and thank you so much, Chris, as always. And it's one of the first things I said before I even saw your comment is too little too late. Where was that offense? Where was that urgency? Where was that production in the first half? You can't wait till you're down and on the verge of losing the game. So Sean Payton has to figure it out, and we'll see what happens on Thursday, Chad. Thank you again, Chris, though. That's amazing.
Yeah, brother. Big, big love, much love and respect. Riptie is upset. Thank you for the super chat, bro. We were talking a little bit on X today. He says, I'm upset. Bo is too skittish. Vance Joseph went into a shell after PS2 went down. Sean Payton not aggressive enough. A long season ahead. And I think, Zach, you know, one thing that occurred to me, one of the takeaways from today's game, while it was going on, it's more of a realization because it was happening in real time, was, you know what? If anything great team-wise comes of this season, that's just icing. Once again, this year is about the development of Bo Nix, the chemistry being built with Bo Nix. I mean, one thing I'll say, it was really cool to see Bo Nix in the third and fourth quarter just trying to find the will to move the ball, like taking matters into his own hands. You know, it's not that he didn't trust Zach, the guys around him, but like tucking it and running and just having that will to try and find a way, make a way. Early in the third quarter, that was coming up woefully short, unfortunately, because when the chips were down, the supporting cast, it just wasn't coming through. Punt, punt, punt. Couldn't stay on the field. Taylor, we'll get Taylor next, but that is something that's, you know, I like seeing that from Bo, but Zach, this is really, hey, let's get Bo. People saying, hey, we need to pull Bo, throw Zach Wilson in there. It's like, no, dude, he needs these live bullet reps. He needs this experience to grow. Do you want him to become your franchise quarterback? This is how you grow.
Bo's definitely a fighter. Bo has a lot of heart, but heart doesn't show up on the stat sheet, Chad. They need more production, point blank, period. And one thing that, you know, you talked about the scrambling, and it's great that he uses his legs. But they highlighted a pass where Bo was surveying the field. He had all day, and he ran off for like a two-yard gain. There was no one open. Not one single receiver had separation on the field. You have Javonte fumbling, dropping screen passes. You have Garrett Bowles, by the way, on that near sack. He just olayed and looked at the oncoming defender. He has no help around him. Bo is certainly not good today, but his supporting cast is worse.
Taylor says, and thank you, Taylor. Guys, this loss was totally unacceptable. The Chargers are just as injured as we are, and no one came to play in the first three quarters. We rely too much on PS2. I think we need a top guy like Travis Hunter. Well, that's a fish that's going to be fried in due time. But, Zach, get this, okay? We all watched it, but just as kind of a post-mortem here, up until that first touchdown where he hits Troy Franklin with whatever it was, 14, somewhere in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter. Okay. Here's your Broncos possessions. Ready? Three plays, pick. Three plays, punt. Six plays, punt. Five plays, fumble. Three plays, punt. Seven plays, punt. Three plays, punt. That encompassed, Zach, first, second, and third quarter. fourth quarter rolls around, Chargers kind of take it easy on their coverage, go prevent. Eight plays, touchdown, field goal. So that kind of puts it into a stark picture of just how things went for this team offensively. And meanwhile, last thing, and I'll serve it back to you, is the defense. Yes, to his point, we rely too much on PS2. May be the case, but you know, you rely on your great players. And just when we start talking about, Zach, how the Broncos have the best cornerback trio in the NFL, it may be true, but you take away the straw that stirs that drink, and it obviously kind of changes the complexion of things.
Yeah, McMillan, whatever, got beat a couple times, got picked on by the refs a couple times. Riley Moss got beat. It happens. But Taylor, I don't think the problem is defense. I mean, they were on the field all day today again, and they gave their all. They're going to crack at times, but it's again, it points to the offense not keeping them off the field, the defense, not putting up points, not doing their part, not carrying their weight. And Chad, how many times have we had this conversation on this podcast over the last 8 years? That's why I said it's the same old Broncos.
William Shaw, good to see you, my friend. Thank you for the super chat. Checking in to say the fans will be angry today, but sometimes you need games like this. Good will come of this. Adversity builds character. Bo is Houdini. Again, it was really cool to see him scrambling and, you know, trying to find a way, make a way, and it made a difference in the fourth quarter. But you have to look at the fact that that's when the Chargers, they eased up on their coverages. They were only rushing 3-4 guys. Like, that obviously, Zach, is a big part of it too. Adam Curran, Devon Vele, and Franklin better be getting a lot of playing time Thursday. Vele should be wide receiver too, and we need to get Sutton going quicker, or in other words, sooner in the game, Zach.
I agree. This should have happened though, Adam, 3-4 weeks ago. Why did it take up until midseason pretty much for them to get their younger receivers going? Trey Franklin, I understand he was raw, but what was the excuse with Vele? I think he led the Broncos in receptions or targets in week one. So I don't know. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not pushing all the panic buttons, but I'm a little soured on Coach Payton for his decision-making, his personnel management, his play calling, and et cetera, Chad. It always falls at the feet of the coaching staff, and this one is not excluded.
Well said. Thank you again, Adam. Taylor, I don't think PS2 will be ready for Thursday. I don't either. But hopefully we'll hope that he will, but just don't expect it probably. It is an NFL-mandated concussion protocol. So the Duchess jumping in with a generous super chat. We love you, Michaela. She says, this game was disgusting. We was having Tebow flashbacks, doubting what I believed about this team. Are we a joke? No, we're not a joke. It's just the vagaries of a rookie quarterback bumping his head and going through his trial and error learning curve. And it was just a weird game. It just started off bizarre. And I don't know. Sometimes you can just get that feeling, Zach, where it's like Stranger Things, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stands up and there's just something awry. And it was like that from the drop. And fittingly, you know, we're only a couple weeks away from Halloween.
It's true. It's a weird game, divisional game. Chad and I both predicted, I think you predicted a win, Chad, on the roundtable, but on Thursday, and I did as well. On Thursday, we said it was going to be a sloppy, more than likely, probably low-scoring, defensive battle, divisional game. They're always tough, Michaela. The Broncos did not play as well as they should have. And Bo, to the previous point, Chad, shouldn't have to be Houdini. He shouldn't have to be this magical act that carries the team single-handedly. He's a rookie quarterback. He needs some help. So, again, any Broncos fan like Michaela, who's a little down on Denver right now, I don't blame you. That, for three quarters, was one of the worst offensive showings I've seen. And that comes, Chad, a few weeks after I said that about the Week 2 game. When we hit bottom, we just keep falling lower, seems like.
But it was Tebow-esque in that, literally, you stunk it up for three quarters. And then the only difference here in this was you made a comeback in the fourth quarter, but it was missing the mile-high magic of the – the finish, right, that you're looking for. That was one thing. Tebow just had a knack for delivering, as ugly as it was. Fox Family Breaks jumps in. Great to see you. Tough game. I want to see the fourth quarter offense show up earlier. I hope PS2 is okay. Most likely won't be there Thursday, so we definitely need to step up. And the good news is you'll have a little bit of time if you have that feeling internally he's not going to be there to prepare better. The Papa Bear jumping in, much love and respect to David McElrath. We love you, big dog. And we got a little something in the pipeline headed your way and some things to announce very, very soon. So very stoked to have you in the chat. Thank you for the super. You know it means the world to us and the support we get from you and all of our great Super Chat superstars. Like, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without it. So thank you, big dog. CJ jumping in with a Super Chat. Thank you, my friend. Eddie Vasquez, longtime Super Chat superstar, to say rudimentary play calling and rudimentary energy. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, Zach, I mean, the Chargers were having a lot of success staying on the field. I mean, they had that, what was it, a 20-play drive, the longest drive since they started counting plays and keeping track of that as a metric. But, again, you take away those two turnovers. The defense still, in the face of that, I mean, you look at time of possession, obviously, like, way out of kilter in favor of the Chargers. But despite all that, the defense actually did enough to keep this offense in the game. If you don't have those turnovers, it's a totally different thing when the chips are down at the end.
Eddie, good point here. Great observation. I said the same about the energy. It's, if you watch the Broncos the last 2 weeks against the Bucs or against the even the Jets and against the Raiders last couple, they look like they want to just kick ass from the opening whistle. They just wanted it more than their opponent. When I watched them on the field today, even from the jump, I didn't see that same energy. It just seemed like they were had their sights set on New Orleans, Chad, that Sean Payton revenge game coming up. And I don't know if that's the case, I'm assuming, but definitely a different Broncos iteration than we saw the last 3 weeks.
Yes, indeed. We have Riptide saying, hey, with his second super, can we please trade for Chuba Hubbard? Who, let's see, today, Scott would know this off the top of his head, but I'm going to take a peek here. Today, let's see, how'd he do? 18 carries, Zach, 92 yards. That goes on top of, so far this season, he's sitting at 393 yards. So we'll call it just shy of 500. He's on easily on pace for a 1,000-yard season. You want to see the Broncos trade for a running back?
I can't be hypocritical because I want the Broncos to add more talent. I don't know that Hubbard is the target here, though. I would want a McCaffrey or a Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, just an elite do-it-all talent like that. And Hubbard is basically a better version of Javonte Williams. And I don't think they're, Chad, a Hubbard away from fixing the offense. This is a multi-layered issue that stems from the play caller and the head coach. I don't think one additional running back is going to fix anything.
CJ with a second super chat. Thank you, brother. Really appreciate you. Casey Nickel jumping in, a longtime super chat superstar with a generous donation to say, let Bo rip the pigskin. Can't have that sense of urgency only in the fourth quarter. The defense flopped in the first half. By the way, Vele needs the ball, period. Next year, get a big-time playmaker because we have Sutton and our fingers crossed. Yeah, and let's be honest, we did get a little bit lucky that they called that a touchdown on the field, because if they call that incomplete and it gets challenged or whatever, they're probably not going to count that a touchdown. So fortunately, they called it in the end zone. Sutton got a touchdown today, Zach. And Troy Franklin popped his NFL cherry, first NFL touchdown, which was cool to see. So Bo Nix finishes with a little over 200 yards, two touchdowns, a pick, something like 85 rating.
A lot of it's garbage time, but you know, we'll pick apart the stats as the week goes on. Casey's point here is accurate. They don't really have any playmaking talent aside from Cortland Sutton, who arguably is not a no doubt wide receiver one, in my opinion. Casey and everybody else, the offseason shopping list, the priority list for Denver should be offense, 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 offense. Build around Bo. That's the 2025 mantra.
And the cool thing is, you know, you've got a pretty young defense. You're going to have to make a decision on Jonathan Cooper versus, let's say, Baron Browning. I mean, there's a chance you might be able to bring them both back, but you get Cooper re-signed. A little bit of money goes there. And for the most part, you've got a defense that's under contract for next year. You'll have to do something with DJ Jones, decide if you're going to bring him back because this is his final year. But still, I think you can budget, Zach, the majority of your 2025 resources, or a good chunk of it, let's just say, both salary cap and in the draft, on building that nest around Bo. Because yes, Casey, you need some playmaking around the quarterback to help him grow and accelerate that process. Eric Flynn, thank you, bro. So good to see you on Facebook. Appreciate the stars. CJ again, and here's his comment. PS2 needs needs to opt in for his own safety to be out. So he needs to miss Thursday night for his own safety. And that's probably how it shakes out, bro. I'm not expecting to see him. And like I said, the first thing is player safety. So, you know, we selfishly hope that the best players are going to be on the field, but only if he's in the right shape, Zach.
I'd be shocked. I'd love for him to play, but his health is first and foremost. I'd be surprised, CJ, very much so, if PS2's out there on Thursday. But again, fortunately, the Saints offense is without Derek Carr. They'll be without Chris Olave. They do have Alvin Kamara and Rashid Shaheed, the speed demon, but should be an even matchup in that sense.
The other bummer is that just when he was building up all this momentum for defensive player of the year, you're basically staring down the barrel of probably two games that you'll miss, because you only had one snap defensively in this game. So you miss Thursday night. That's a lot of momentum. That's a lot of air out of the balloon, Zach. And I'm not sure, barring a Champ Bailey-esque 2005 kind of year, that he'll have enough runway to kind of make up for that. But Riptide saying, hey, I agree, Zach. I'm not questioning Bo's desire.
We're on the same page then, Ripta. I understand it's frustrating. I saw what you tweeted at me earlier, and I can't say I disagree. We all want to see the Broncos offense be better. I just wouldn't put the majority of blame on Bo Nix in this one.
Looks, he says, it's just a rookie QB. Looks up Jaden Daniels, who continues to kind of tear it up, Zach. How do you explain that?
Jaden Daniels was a top five pick. Bo Nix wasn't. Jaden Daniels supporting cast, his running game, Chad, one of his running backs is better than anything the Broncos have combined in their backfield. His top receiver, Terry McLaurin, is better than anyone the Broncos have at receiver, including Cortland Sutton. So it's the same argument with Caleb Williams. The supporting cast around them is infinitely better than what Bo Nix has to work with.
By the way, today your leading receiver for the Broncos was Vele. Six targets, dropped one. He catches that. You know, he's pushing 100-yard day, 78 yards on four receptions. Sutton finishes with four for 53 and a touchdown. He also had that 46-yard catch and run that was called back because of a Quinn Miners holding penalty. That would have put him near 100 yards, woulda, shoulda, coulda. I want to say the Broncos punted on that possession, if memory serves. But then Troy Franklin, two for 31 and a touchdown once again. So, thank you. Really appreciate you, brother. Cody Dub jumping in saying Sutton's not a number one. Vele looks good, though. I mean, I think Sutton is a number one, but he's not a number one in the sense that, Zach, he's a force to be reckoned with and dictates, like, by his own accord, so to speak. Like, he's not a guy that just goes in and can take over a game. He can give you number one level production, but things kind of have to be going right. So is he a number one? I would say that he is, and around him, right, with supporting cast is what I mean. I would say he is a number one, but he's like tier two wide receiver one, not tier one wide receiver one.
Exactly. I was going to say he's a wide receiver one on a bad offense like the Broncos have been. He's a wide receiver two or maybe even three on a really good offense. Like in Cincinnati, T. Higgins is the wide receiver two. On most other teams, T. Higgins would be the wide receiver one. Same thing with Court.
Arlie Tucker jumping in on Facebook. Thank you, buddy. We need playmakers that can catch. Defense can only do so much to stay in the game. Yeah, too little too late. That's what the thumbnail says. Broncos surge, too little too late. George Fox, great to see you, big dog, on Facebook. Keep a stiff upper lip. That goes to everybody. Still a lot of season left to play, guys. Naj jumping in. Can't wait to see what the shot of life has to say here. He says, brothers, where was Vele until the fourth quarter? A brutal loss at home. The play calling was awful until they went hurry up. Peyton and VJ were outcoached ultimately, but the team rallied hard, and we have to be proud of that. Yeah, I mean, definitely that's something I tweeted during the game, being outcoached, and that was really from the drop. Even with the weird stuff going on, Jim Harbaugh, Zach being led into the locker room with a mysterious illness. I don't know what that was about. Maybe there's been other reporting on it up to this point that I've missed, but the Broncos definitely had it put on them, and the Chargers put a clinic saying, hey, this is what you do to get a quarterback going, the movement, the play action. But, you know, the play action works, Zach, when you're able to have your running back go 96 yards on the ground, another guy carries it twice for 14, another guy, you know, it's just that production, that balance, it's symbiosis, you know, it's hand in glove, it's things working in unison, to create an end result that everybody's striving for. And the Broncos, unfortunately, they're just still so young and kind of in chrysalis, right? You know what that means, where you go from the caterpillar into the, right, and then it comes out as a butterfly. They're still in that chrysalis process where they're developing, and we can't quite see through it. It's you know, opaque. We can't quite make out. We just have to wait to see what it looks like when it kind of busts through. That's where the Broncos are.
I know Naj is the ultimate glass half full person, but the glass half empty outlook is they were down 20-0 at one point. So we're supposed to celebrate them, you know, rallying to lose by a touchdown. You don't come out that way, Chad, and get out coached by Jim Harbaugh, who I believe had to go number two. I'm pretty sure that was the little illness that he had, Chad. But yeah, they were out. I wouldn't say that VJ was out coached. I think the game plan the Chargers had was the same
Hold on. So you're telling me, he's like, hey guys, I got to talk to you, medical staff. They're like, yeah, coach. It's like, we need to go into the medical tent. They step into the medical tent, zip the zipper. What's up, coach? He's like, dude, I got to drop a deuce. And they're like, ooh, what do we do? Let's kind of not jog too fast. Let's just kind of briskly walk to the locker room. Yeah, yeah. We'll say it's an illness. Yeah. Sounds good. Was that kind of the play-by-play you're saying? Yeah,
maybe it was the Lamar Jackson special from a few years ago where he's doing the, you know, the he's the I can't think of it. Anyway. So, yeah, I mean, they fall down to a hole, 20-0. They look like they're sleepwalking out there. The only point I want to make, once again, is I don't think VJ was outcoached. The defense did as well as they can, all they can do without their best player. They're on the field constantly. You can't really ask much more. They still got the ball back for the Broncos in the end. I believe Peyton was outcoached. I think VJ gets a pass.
One of the killers here, once again, and by the way, can you blame us for a little gallows humor, people? One of the big difference makers, and this is, again, emblematic of the struggle so far this season for this young Bo Nix offense, is Zach, they're converting on third down, best case, one every four times. You're not able to build any kind of momentum, rhythm. You know, you want to talk about symbiosis or synergy. That goes out the window when you're going three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. 27% today, Zach, 3 for 11 on third down. Meanwhile, the Chargers, it was like, yeah, majority of the time they're converting. And a lot of them were third and longs where Herbert's hitting over the middle and they were exploiting the absence, obviously, Zach, of PS2. They went 11 of 18. That's 61%. But the Broncos did convert both their fourth down options. So there's that, even though they did, and went 2 for 2 in their red zone possessions. There's that. But they did fail on their two-point conversion.
Point of clarity, I apologize to Jim Harbaugh. Hopefully he's okay. It was arrhythmia, apparently, some sort of heart issue. So hopefully he's all good. In terms of the Chargers' game plan, again, I thought it was very rudimentary. He knew the Broncos couldn't get the offense couldn't get off the field on third down. His defense couldn't stay on the. We talked about that on the pod on Thursday, Chad, the head-to-head. Whoever was going to win third down and stay on the field, if it's the Broncos offense, would have a chance to win the game. But they kept getting off the field. They put their defense on the field, and that's why they get tired. I don't blame VJ for this. I agree, though, with Jordan. It's year two and same results. What's the one common denominator? Not the quarterback. You can't blame Russ. The one common denominator is Sean Payton.
You look at these final stats and box score, and by the way, arrhythmia is gnarly. So, you know, thoughts and prayers out to Coach Harbaugh. Ringing of the ear, vertigo, feeling a little lightheaded, not good, just feeling weird. So that's tough to deal with in the midst of a heated battle like that. But, Zach, if you were to look at the box score, and I mean, look, you got the Chargers, 350 total net yards, the Broncos, 316. The Chargers, 128 yards on the ground, the Broncos, 110. And the final score, 23-16, you're going, oh, this must have been like pretty evenly matched tilt, came down to the wire, da-da-da. The complexion, though, obviously quite different. This is why people have a point when they say don't be box score scouts, et cetera, is, you know, 61% on third down, 27%. How many of those 110 yards were Bo Nix? Well, I'll tell you, 61 of them, Zach. He was the team's leading rusher by a mile. He tripled with the same number of carries, Javonte Williams rushing total today. So just disjointed, rabbit out of a hat. That's our approach in the fourth quarter and hope for the best. You're just not going to be able to make hay in the NFL that way. Now, I don't want to jump, you know, to massive conclusions and everybody go running for the cliff. we're coming off a three-game winning streak where things were going pretty good. You know, you expect to have some setback games, Zach, when you're playing a young team and you're playing a rookie quarterback. So let's not go too crazy here. Jordan T., when do we demand more from Peyton in the offense? Feels like he's wasting a talented defense with mediocre offensive scheme. Year two, same results. It's tough, dude. He gave himself a shield in the fact that he drafted a rookie quarterback, first-round quarterback, and he's starting him. And for the majority of this season, I would argue, Zach, Bo Nix has made him look like he was right to not only pick him, but to name him the starter. I mean, first Broncos rookie quarterback ever to win three games in a row. And let's not forget, two of those were on the road, East Coast. The third one was against a team that was running on 8-game winning streak over the Broncos in division. So let's not pretend that it's just like this complete horrid experience so far. This team is not 0-6. This team's 3-3. They're still in the fight. They're still in the battle here. It's a setback. Your quarterback's got to take one on the chin once in a while, and that's what happened today.
But it's true that Peyton bought himself another honeymoon year as one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL, 6-year contract. Anytime something goes wrong, hey, why'd you lose that game? I have a rookie quarterback. Why'd you make that call? I have a rookie quarterback. And he might not say those things verbatim, but that's the way 2024 is going to go. And that's why what Chad said was spot on at the beginning. This was all about, and we kind of cautioned the fan base to have this mindset, it was about Bo Nix, win or lose. It was about his development and getting him through this year and seeing what you have. Not necessarily wins and losses or playoff record, this and that, but all about Bo. We can't lose sight of that, as Chad said.
Franklin Lewis, the second, jumping in. Good to see you, bro. Thank you for the super. He says, I'm watching the game, and one question springs to mind. Is Peyton playing the play sheets too close to the vest, or is it just Nix not adapting as quickly out there? I hate it to sound like a cop out here, Franklin, but it is a little bit of both, with it slightly edged toward the play calling today anyway. Bo Nix was obviously willing to uncork it and push the ball downfield, sailed it a little bit on that interception, had a couple of close calls at other points when he went vertical, also a couple of connections and made some plays in the red zone. Like, yeah, it was late in the game. It was garbage time. You can make all those arguments, but he did get some production, you know, another 2-1 in terms of touchdown to interception ratio. How many games did he go without turning it over? 3. Broncos won every one of those games in which he didn't turn it over. They've lost every single game in which he has turned it over.
From where I sit, Franklin, I think it's too scripted to start off, and that's why he looked so good in the fourth quarter, because he was just playing football. He wasn't thinking, he wasn't necessarily reacting, he was going out there and just playing. And it might have been a little backyard football, it might not be sustainable for all four quarters, but I think that it's just too much Sean Payton's putting on Bo Nix's plate as a rookie. The play calls, the verbiage, the personnel formations, just make it a little simpler for him and you can see what he can do.
Brian Stacy Morgan, thank you, buddy. Good to see you. Appreciate the stars, my friend, on Facebook. The Facebook family checking in. We got Phil McLaughlin, one of our legendary mythical supporters, on Facebook saying, good afternoon, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. I'm lost for words. Let's hope Thursday we see a different team. Buckham, MHH for life, Broncos for life. And look, there's something to be said about the risk, too, that gets run, because this is what NFL teams do. On a short week turnaround, they game plan for their opponent, and they do spend a little time in that game week for, say, week 6 going against the Chargers. If they can get ahead of the curve a little bit in their game planning, they will take some time and start looking ahead and start game planning a little bit for the next opponent that Thursday night game to varying degrees. Is that part of the explanation today? Possibly. It's a big emotional game for Sean Payton and a lot of those guys, right? A lot of that coaching staff ties to New Orleans. So you wonder how much that may have played a role in kind of the just disjointed seeming lack of kind of focus and wherewithal today.
And they won't answer that question, even if they're asked, you know, straight. They won't admit that, Chad, Sean Payton, that we were overlooking the Chargers to focus on the Saints. But we'll know the answer to that question on Thursday with how they respond to this loss, how they come out in a primetime game with Bo Nix on the road against New Orleans, revenge narrative, yada, yada. How they respond on Thursday will tell us all we need to know about how they approached this game.
Very true. We've got here also Brandon Williams checking in saying left tackle, center, tight end, wide receiver, running back should be the priority. You know, that is something that you're going to have to decide on with Garrett Bowles. we'll see. Eric Flynn said, are there any moves the Broncos could make while the season's still going to ignite the offense? And that kind of goes into Brandon Williams' point. What do you think, Zach? Because you have another – I mean, you basically still have about 4 weeks almost till the trade deadline, November 5th. What do you think?
I mean, you're getting McGlinchey back at right tackle, so you don't have to worry about Parrott there. Wattenberg is on IR, so you're going to have to deal with Forsyth. I don't think you're going to trade for a lineman. I mean, what receivers out there that could be a difference maker for you, something you don't already have? Like an Amari Cooper, you have a good route runner. You needed a game breaker. You need someone with explosion, someone that can help Bo Nix down the middle of the field. I keep going back to tight end. And maybe Kyle Pitts. I don't know what he did today. I didn't look at his stat line. Maybe Mark Andrews out there in Baltimore. Maybe Isaiah Likely out there in Baltimore. Just a weapon for Bo Nix if they go that route. But aside from them, Chad, I don't see the available options.
Real quick, for what it's worth, on Pitts, three receptions, 70 yards today with a long of 52. So not a bad day. Ted Wunderlich, what's up, buddy? Good to see you tonight. Thank you for the super chat, big dog. Give our best to your pops. Says, I've got the pattern figured out. We alternate good and bad offensive games. Good, Seattle, good. Good, Seattle, Tampa Bay, Las Vegas, bad, Pitt, New Jersey, Chargers. If the football astrology holds, we score a lot on Thursday. Hashtag MHH for life. We'll see if that comes out in the wash. That's an interesting observation, Ted.
Hopefully it's true. If they're going to be that Jekyll and Hyde, then we're in for a good showing on Thursday. But you know, regardless, it's going to be a tough matchup on offense and defensive, and we'll know a lot more about the 2024 Broncos after that game.
Show low man jumping in. Good to see you. Thank you for the super chat, big dog. Thoughts on Peyton finally realizing the Chargers had two rookie DBs playing on the field and started targeting them. Yeah, I mean, again, too little too late on the end of game surge. You know, it's like, where was that early in the game, not just from a scheme perspective, but from just an intensity. You could see it when it started in the third quarter. They didn't find a lot of purchase, still had to punt. You had the Williams fumble, but you saw that will. You saw Bo Nix out there trying to rally his guys, showing them like, guys, I'm going for broke out here. We're leaving it on the field. Let's go. We're running out of time. And it just still took a little too long, Zach, to get it going. But yeah, you got to wonder about what Sholo Man's saying here.
That's assuming that Bo Nix had time in the pocket to survey the middle of the field and recognize the two rookie defensive backs. Every time I looked up, it seemed like Bo was running for his life, or you're throwing off platform, or just looking uncomfortable because of all the injuries to the offensive line. But the point is not missed here. Falls on the coaching for not having him better in the first half.
Thanks again, buddy. Appreciate you. We also have here Jordan T jumping in to say the D can't be all world every game. Injuries happen. Sean cost draft picks to acquire his rights from the Saints, then used more picks to get his guys. How long is his leash? I think it's pretty long. And it's kind of like ties back to what we were saying about how he gave himself the additional honeymoon year. So basically, by drafting Nix, basically, to answer your question, how long is his leash? His leash is through 2025. That's how long his leash is. If this ownership group does not see progress by the end of the 2025 season, progress meaning like playoffs, then he'll be gone. But there's still a long row left to hoe before that's really a conversation to analyze.
Yeah, nothing more to add. Word for word, he'll have through 2025, and then the Walton Penner ownership group will go from there. Thank you, though, Jordan, for the question.
Kodiak, NFL jumping in. Thank you, buddy. Moss, that's Riley Moss, and Jaquan McMillan. You know, the emphasis on the syllables here is a little bit off with him. You know, you have to kind of mind your P's and Q's. Jaquan McMillan had horrific moments today, hoping they're more prepared for the Saints. That's the good news is, you know, they'll have time to actually prepare for life without PS2. Today, I thought Moss, for the most part, held his own. He did get beat on one under route on third down. But the refs really seemed to be targeting today anyway. They targeted McMillan. But just generally, the Broncos' corners, part of it's the way Joseph is scheming with so much man. But you saw that metric that they talked about on the broadcast today in terms of the Broncos' leading the way with the number of PI penalties so far on their DBs.
Yeah, it's been the case all season with PS2 drawing a lot of them, some of them very ticky-tack. Excuse me. But you'll see another cornerback get some action. Could it be Damari Mathis? Could it be Levi Wallace? Or could it be Chris Abrams-Drain, the rookie who looks so good in the preseason, Chad, and has not played, I think, a snap in the regular season? So I think he'll get some shine on Thursday, Kodiak.
Today, it seemed like most of that shine was Levi. Levi Wallace. But I'm with you, dude. I want to see actually the rookie because I have lost faith in Damari Mathis, and he's still they activated Audric Estime started the clock on Estime and Mathis earlier this week, ended up promoting and officially activating, not promoting, Estime to the 53-man roster. So they're still in that window, Zach, where they can either activate Mathis, which this injury to Sertan is probably a near virtual guarantee that they will, but he should still be the lowest man on the totem pole. Like, if you're looking at solutions to counter the Saints, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, CAD was looking good in the preseason. Levi Wallace was looking good in training camp. He had a number of the coaches rave about him. Damari Mathis is just kind of there. And I don't know that he got any better from what he was last season. So I prefer not to see him on the biggest stage on Thursday night.
Cody Dubb, people wonder why the offense sucks. Reminder, $53 million dead cap because of Russell Wilson. Next season, most of that has to go to the offense for the team to be better. Yeah, but and that what's cool about this season, though, guys, is this. If we can all just show a little bit of patience and understanding with what's happening, the long view a little bit, and it's hard to do because of what we've been through the preceding 8 years, but if we can take that long view and understand points like Cody's making here. What do you expect him to do when they made the decision to get rid of Russell Wilson and eat $53 million dead? You know, it's gonna come out in the wash. Allow Bo Nix to grow. Allow these young guys. I mean, by the end of the season, we might be talking about kind of like what happened in 2018 when Zach Cortland Sutton. Now, granted, he was a second-round pick. Vele's a, you know, seventh-rounder. But if you guys cast your minds back to 2018 when Cortland Sutton was a rookie, he's getting in fist fights with Emmanuel Sanders in training camp and, you know, I'm the man, whatever. But you start out that season with both DT and Sanders and Cortland Sutton. DT gets traded. Then it's the Sutton-Sanders show, but Sutton just, as the season marches on, outshines him. Pretty soon you get to the final frame of the season, the final quarter of the season, Zach, and Sutton is your number one guy. No one could have predicted that when the season started, right? No one would have guessed it. We all could have guessed that as a second round pick, he was going to eventually be something for the Broncos. But behind legends like both DT and Sanders, RIP to DT, you couldn't have predicted that. So my point is, stay patient, and you don't know what some of these guys might be able to grow into this season, but that's why we got to keep our perspective.
There's a number of reasons why the Broncos offense sucks right now. I don't know that Russell Wilson's dead money hit or his contract is in the top five of that. Sure, it might have prevented you from going out and getting another receiver or a running back, but you cut loose Tim Patrick to keep your boy, Lil Jordan Humphrey, for example, if you're Sean Payton. You're the one scheming horizontal plays, passing plays for Bo Nix if you're Sean Payton. The issues that the Broncos have are less about the dead cap and more about the coaching and the efficiency of the offense. Yeah, I would love to see the Broncos have more playmakers, but even if they have the money available to them, Chad, would they have spent it? Or would have Sean Payton signed another Michael Burton or Adam Trautman or Lil Jordan Humphrey? That's the cronyism is what I'm concerned with more than Russell Wilson's dead cap number.
Well said. Okay, let me see what Mr. Producer's saying. Denver leads the NFL with $77 million dead cap. He says, of course, it would be the Cleveland Browns at $100 million on Deshaun the next 2 years if they'd actually cut that dead weight. Yeah, similar plights if they made that decision. Okay, so we got Riptide. Thanks for putting it into perspective, chat. I still want Sean to open the playbook up. I agree, but at the same time, if you kind of, and I'm just trying to hear, Zach, this is not me asserting this as an opinion, but I'm just playing devil's advocate. You're Sean Payton. yeah, like if it's Drew Brees, you're opening that playbook up and you're saying go, but you also have to protect your quarterback psyche a little bit, like your rookie, and try and you give him a little, then you rein it in. You give him a little, then you rein it in. And how much you're giving Zach and how much you're reining in is entirely contingent on how it's shaken out on the field, like what the results are. And so today, you know, there are a lot of nits that we can pick in Sean Payton's coaching approach. I would have thought, Zach, that the flow of the game would have dictated that he opened things up a lot sooner than he did. And I think they did try in the third quarter. You saw that from Bo Nix, a lot more running around, a lot more just kind of backyard trying to find a way, make a way. But again, it didn't really start coming together till the fourth.
That's why, you know, I talked about the arrogance of Sean Payton earlier, and this is all me assuming and spitballing, but I can 100% see this is how it went down. You know, Sean thinks that because he handpicked Bo Nix, that he's coaching him, that Bo Nix can be Drew Brees out of the gate like he had in New Orleans. Bo Nix is not Drew Brees. Bo Nix is Bo Nix. He's still 24 years old. He's still a rookie navigating life in the NFL. Make it simpler on him. Don't give him the Drew Brees workload. Give him the Bo Nix workload. We saw it in week two with Bo Nix, literally a viral moment, looked back at the huddle and stared at the sideline for like 3 full seconds waiting for the play call. It's too much information. It's too much to think about. It's too much pressure. Let him go out there and just play freaking football like we saw in the fourth quarter.
Some interesting takes here on Instagram from Derek Thomas 368. And I agree with this take. That 2-point conversion play was garbage. Agreed. And I thought the television broadcast did a good job of illustrating why it was ill-advised. Bronco 88888. Bo was running for his life all day. He really was. But what do you expect when you're down that many starters? You're eating through your secondary starters. And then Dr. Keith 68, bottom line, this team sleepwalks through the first half more often than not. That's on the head coach. Yeah. And it's also on the inexperience of the quarterback and just the relative inexperience of the team. This is a young team, guys. And it's especially true, Zach, on offense. The Ronk, Chad and Zach, good evening on the Mile Huddle podcast. Gut reaction. Go Bo Broncos. Thank you for the positivity, my friend. Keeping that optimistic lens on this thing. Naj jumping in with a second super chat tonight. Thank you, brother. Says, at what point do we replace Mims snaps? Yes, the running back room is struggling, but we are about to play a team that just gave up 51 points. Have to show more offensive urgency from the first play. Today, the PS2 injury threw everyone off. Yeah, there was something about that. I agree too, Zach. Something about that PS2 injury happening literally on the first play of the game defensively for the Broncos. It was like everyone went, oh, there goes our best player. Shoot. And it seemed to kind of shake the Broncos.
I don't like it. Thank you, Naj, again. And you're right about the injury. It's just setting the tone for what, like Chad said, was a very just weird day. You just get the vibes, weird off vibes. But championship teams and playoff contending teams, they would use losing their best player as a rallying cry. They would win for PS2, not go into a shell because they lost him. Maybe I'm being too critical, Chad. Maybe I'm being too rough on them, but like, you lost him on the first play of the game. You had a whole game to adjust. You can't just, you know, tuck your tail between your legs and walk away and give up because he's out. Go fight for him and go win for him. And they just, like the comment said, sleptwalked.
Well said, Naj. Kodiak NFL jumping in again. Call me crazy, but I really like the 2-point conversion call. Just blown blocks by Javonte and Adkins. I don't know. I just think that in that situation, with how attacking that and well that defense had been tackling, you just got to keep it vertical, dude. Like, I would have rather have seen a Tim Tebow-esque quarterback power dive up the gut than what you saw. Let's get north and south, guys. Zebo in Australia. What's up, bro? Down in Oz saying, I'm still bullish on the Broncos. Although, I want the Broncos to win every game. Reality is, we will have a roller coaster. I love the fight in Nix. I do, too. That did jump out to me in this game. And again, this is a part of watching before our very eyes, Zach, a young quarterback growing and learning and developing in the league. Hashtag MHL for life and go Bo Broncos.
It's true. He is a fighter. He doesn't quit, and he'll get better for these losses. And I know it's a moral victory, but compare that to Broncos quarterbacks in the past, like Paxton Lynch crying on the sideline against the Raiders because it wasn't cutting it. Bo has the mental fortitude. He has the fight. He has the desire. He just needs some help from his supporting cast to really reach his potential.
Saints fan checking in here. Thank you for the super and for checking in with us, my friend. He says, like the show. But the Broncos fans got to realize you guys got the worst receivers, tight ends, and running backs in the whole NFL. I feel bad for Bo, to be honest. Yeah, but I'm not saying that that's true. Obviously, there's a lot to be desired with the quality of talent on offense. But again, if Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael, Joe Lombardi, Davis Webb, you know, you've got this pretty serious offensive coaching brain trust who is entrusted by the team to get this guy where the team needs him to be. You know, you gotta also be the reason why lackluster backs, tight ends, and receivers outkick their coverage at some point. Now, do you expect that out of the gates? I mean, we're in the second quarter of the season. This is about when I would expect to start seeing Bo being the guy raising the ships. And I think he did at times today, Zach, but just too little too late.
The only case that the Broncos don't have the worst supporting cast in the NFL, the only argument you can make is the Patriots. And Drake May started today for the first time. He had 3 touchdowns. So you can't really use that excuse as to, oh, it's this, it's that. I think the Broncos do have the worst collection, as the Saints fan is saying here, of running backs, of receivers, of tight ends. When your starting tight end is Lucas Kroll or Adam Trautman, when your second receiver is Devon Vele, and no ill will meant toward him, but he's a 7th-round pick. They just don't have enough firepower. They don't have the horses on offense. And to recognize that scenario and still criticize sharply Bo Nix for it, I think is a little ridiculous.
Naj, again, love you, brother. Says, not keeping Tim Patrick. In my opinion, is and was a terrible decision. He looked fantastic today, gets open quickly, something that would help Bo. Not only that, but just his leadership and kind of wherewithal as a veteran would have gone a long way. I would agree with you, Naj. And the, you know, let's see real quick. I want to see if I can find the Lions box score. Here we go. So Lions still, they're 4-1. 47-9 over the 3-3 Cowboys.
Wow.
Tim Patrick, 3 receptions, 68 yards. Zach with a long of 42 today.
It's spilled milk at this point, Naj. I get it. You know, I talked about it earlier, cutting Patrick for Lil Jordan Humphrey. We all hated the decision. But I'm just happy for Timmy P that he's going on a winning team and have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl and finally taste some success in the NFL. He's earned this. So let's separate that from the Broncos.
But yeah, I feel you, dude. I do feel you. Okay, let's see here. Where are we at? Let me see what Mr. Producer's saying here. Oh, and Patrick, you saying had a touchdown call back. Scott says, to be fair, I don't think little Jordan Humphrey made the 53 either. He got cut too. True. He was waived and then later re-signed to the squad and then promoted eventually. But that role that should have been PS2's, you could make the Patrick's, you could make the argument was either taken by Lil Jordan or Josh Reynolds. Josh Reynolds ain't helping you. He's on IR. He's gone for 4 weeks. Hand surgery, in case you guys missed that earlier this week. George Fox, Nick Benito just tied Von Miller with 4 sacks in 4 games. Broncos for life, MHH for life. Yeah, I mean, he's a nice cleanup sack guy, you know, and he'll give you that production. He has gotten better against the run. So encouraging to see Bonito taking steps each year, you know, stoked for him.
You were talking about earlier, like, do they resign Cooper or Barron? I think it's no question at this point. You let Baron Browning walk and resign Cooper. You have him, you have Ellis, you have Bonito. You have a nice little foundation of pass rushers and also Zach Allen, Malcolm Roach, Franklin Myers up front. The Broncos front 7 is actually mighty powerful. It's why the defense does not concern me.
Yeah. Doug Raquel, just being patient, looking for small victories. As always, appreciate this group. Doug, good outlook. Good outlook, buddy. Antoine Curry with the super chat. Things could be worse. We could be the Cowboys, who are also 3-3 now, but like just the complexion of how things are shaking out and the degree, Zach, to which they're failing to meet expectations. Yeah, that's harsh. Brian Smith, tough loss. Got exciting towards the end, but we can't play like that for three quarters and expect to come back in dramatic fashion. Love to PS2, hashtag MHH for life, .. This ain't no Tim Tebow magical 2011 season. That was my part, but thank you for that, buddy. Cody Dub, seems that Bo only gets to kill a play. Seems like that's when he only gets, I think that's what it is, right, Zach? Your thoughts?
That's what I was saying earlier. I don't know if that's true or not, Cody, but it just seems like when the Broncos are down in the fourth quarter, their backs against the walls, that's when he just goes out there and plays football. There's no these long-winded play calls and personnel formations. You just go out there and find that guy down the field. Let's get a first down. Let's get a touchdown. We need points and hurry up about it. Go out there and just play quarterback like you did in college at Oregon. That's what I think the freedom that comes in the fourth quarter allows. And I agree with what the premise is. Give him that freedom from the jump, from the first quarter, from the first snap.
All right, guys. Let's keep our chins up. This isn't the end of the world. I got a little bit worried for a minute there in the third quarter. I'm going, man, is this going to be a brutal shutout? Like, is that what's on deck here? Like, oof. But I was encouraged to see that fight in the fourth quarter. And, of course, we're going to get the asterisk of garbage time and all those excuses. And there's truth to it. But, Zach, Bo Nix and company showed fight at the end, came up short. Obviously, a lot of work to do to iron out these kinks. You don't get much time on a short week. Going home, get home for Sean Payton, that is. Back to New Orleans, all the emotional gravitas of this game and the storylines. I mean, they're going to be thick. He's probably going to be a little bit short-fused this week at the podium, I'm guessing. But then from there, the clouds part a little bit, Zach, and you get that mini-bye. And then we'll see. So if you could get to 4-3, and you know, if you can find a way to win, and for whatever reason, Zach, this team is doing better on the road than it is at home, right? 2-1 on the road, 1-2 at home. So there is that. But if you can get to 4-3, you know, and then you get your little bit of a mini buy, maybe that buys you some time, Zach, to iron out those kinks.
Yeah, and then you have the Panthers after that in Denver. So it's not a gimme game, but an easier matchup for the Broncos. The season is certainly not over, but today was a gut punch because Broncos country, Chad, was built up the last 3 weeks. They were given that H word, the powerful H word, hope, once again. And once again, the Broncos snatched it out from under them. But apparently, according to the football, you know, astrology gods, they're due for a win and due for more points, as we covered earlier today. We'll see how they show up on Thursday, but Chad's right. It's going to be an ornery week for Sean Payton at the podium until then.
All right, guys, we have a few messages for you. Then we're going to dip out, but listen very closely, please.
Tremendous installment, as always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad N. Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch, check out MHHmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so yet, drop us a like at Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. You can find us on Instagram at @mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, 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 very important, subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
We have a long list of shout outs tonight to the Super Chat superstars and supporters helping us literally keep the lights on. Thank you guys. Starting with Jonathan Ward, Chris Hernandez, Rip Dye, Taylor Christensen, William Shaw, Adam Kern, The Duchess, Michaela Parker, Fox Family Breaks, The Papa Bear, David McElrath. We love you, big dog. CJ multiple times, Eddie Vasquez, Casey Nickel, Eric Flynn, Cody Dubb, Arlie Tucker, George Fox, Jordan T, Naj, Franklin, let's see, Brian Stacey Morgan, Phil McLaughlin, Brandon Williams, Ted Wunderlich, Sholo Man, Kodiak NFL multiple times, The Ronk, Zeebo down in Oz, Saints fan checking in. Probably hear from you again later in the week. Hope so, dude. George Fox, Doug Raquel, Antoine Curry, Brian Smith. Much love and respect, you guys. Keep your chin up. It's still very early, short week. Make sure you're here tomorrow night for the aftermath, because it's probably going to be more pointed toward the Saints game, being that it's a short week. It's going to be our, this show's only look-ahead episode, so that's probably, Zach, we'll have to do the look-ahead, the head-to-head comp tomorrow, because Thursday night we'll be doing a gut reaction. So can't wait to see you guys tomorrow.
That's right. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.